cruising down the street in my 6'4".
Just like that, somebody turned off the rain and the sun come out.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Hey everybody, you don't know me, but I'm on TV, so you can trust me. Welcome to the This Is Tampa podcast with...
I'm Rob.
And I'm Jen, and today we are here at the Fat Rabbit Pub here in New Tampa, and we are with Beach and Cole. Thank you guys so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your roles here at the Fat Rabbit Pub.
So I'm a bartender, a manager, and now brewer, as we've launched our banner brewery here for Fat Rabbit.
Wow, you've got a lot of jobs.
Yeah, it's fun.
Jack of all trades. And what about you, Cole?
Well, I'm the executive chef. I do the menus, I create all the sauces, day-to-day operations in the kitchen, running it, stuff like that, wow. And coming up with new items, new things for everybody to try out, and working on new menus, so.
That's awesome.
You came up with the awesome chicken wings,
yes.
Right? There are a couple of, like, unique ones on there, like the Fat Rabbit, I guess, would be the house, like,
yeah,
special one. And there's, I wish I had the menu in front of me, but what's some of the other ones?
So, the Fat Rabbit. The Fat Rabbit was actually a mess-up sauce on my part. I was making one of our old sauces we used to have, put too much cilantro in it. Came out actually really good, so I'm like, all right, I'm gonna play around with this, start doing different stuff. Then next thing you know, it's a big hit. We made a house sauce, and it's been a seller since. But like some of our basic ones, like our Daytona, people love the Daytona. It's a sweet, spicy barbecue that gets charred on the grill. And another top seller is our buffalo garlic ranch.
Yeah.
I mean, you really can't go wrong with buffalo ranch and garlic.
No.
On the chicken wings.
All three of those are my favorites.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah.
I mean, those definitely are our top three sellers. So
wow.
That's good. Yeah, and the Daytona ones, I guess we're inspired from like what they do in Daytona. They do that same type of thing where they fry it, then grill it.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the ones like I've played around with years, and finally I was able to come up with my own barbecue sauce. Then for the spice level, I threw in a little bit of the Hellfire mix into it to give it that nice little heat to it.
That's cool.
But then the caramelization on the wings as well really puts it over, because the wings are double fried, then you throw them right onto the grill, and it just gives it a great flavor.
Yeah,
so
I agree. That's delicious.
Sticky and yeah. Yummy.
And crunchy. Well, tell us a little bit about the history of the Fat Rabbit Pub. How did it get here?
Why New Tampa?
Yeah.
Well, we have two owners, Sean and John. They lived in the area. They worked together for a long period of time, and they just got tired of the chain restaurant kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, mediocre food, mediocre service. It's just not worth going out and spending money on it. And they had joked around about opening a place, and finally their wives said, you know, if you guys are going to keep saying, why don't you do it? Just go do it. So they went out the next day, started a bank account, and started all the stuff to get the business.
You know, next day, huh?
Yeah. They were eager.
I like the way they move. Yeah, that's what I say. Don't talk about how to do it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it was just being here in New Tampa on Bruce Bedown. It was just chain restaurant. They're like, and they have no restaurant experience per se. I mean, I think Sean worked at a Chili's with years like in college.
Back in the 80s.
Yeah.
There's your experience.
But you know, from not really having a food services background or a bar background, they did a pretty kick-ass job.
Yeah, and there's really no, like, I mean, there's neighborhood bars, you know, you got Linksters down the road, but they don't serve food.
No, and it's a smoking bar, so it's
smoky, and there's Peabody's, that's a kind of a different scene too. There was nothing like this, so I think, you know, the timing and the need
It fit a gap in the community where people wanted to go to and stuff, something that people actually wanted.
Right.
They did a lot of traveling. They've been in different bars, so they took like little things from each place, like, oh, we like this, and they started doing their own little mix. Like, we have wood up underneath our bar that's actually from a hotel back in the 40s in Tampa.
Wow.
It's like reclaimed wood. Same thing with the wood that right here.
Yeah,
it's all reclaimed wood.
In the hallway.
That is so
I think
cool.
It was from one of the, I cannot remember the name of the hotel, but it was back in the 40s.
Wow.
So like
in Ybor or something? Or
yeah, it's somewhere down that area. Yeah. So it's all
so
reclaimed
cool.
wood there. They love the whole brick pattern because it gives that comfortable vibe.
Yeah.
Like you're sitting in a place where you're like, oh, I can be comfortable here. I don't got to worry about nobody hanging all over me and stuff like that.
Right.
So
they literally designed, like they did the interior design for this?
Oh, yeah. We didn't hire a design firm or anything. They did everything.
Yeah, it's It's very well done.
Yeah, they had the contractor in here, obviously got to have it, but outside that, like, they were in here laying bricks, the tile in the bathrooms, the ceilings and all that. They did all that.
That's incredible.
Then once I left my job before I came here, like, then I started helping put the tile in the bathroom on the walls and all that.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, it was all hands on deck for about a year.
Yeah, sounds like a labor of love.
Yes.
And I see actually behind you is the building plans, it looks like.
Yes.
For the restaurant. That is so cool.
Then right above y'all is John and Sean. Those are their grandparents and dad that owned bars back in the 40s, 60s and all that.
Oh my God. What a story. And it was meant to be.
Yes.
Blueprints for the drinks as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Going
to be reflected on the, you're not going to be able to tell on the camera, but.
Yeah.
I'll shoot some video in here.
Yeah.
Also, your beer selection, like having like a lot of local craft beers and stuff, I think was, very smart.
Yeah. Obviously. When we first opened, we had, I think, 8 of the taps were rotationals. We had 20 taps originally. And now, I mean, it's other than like Bud Light, Yingling, Miller Lite, Coors Light, those couple small, the basic domestics, all of our taps are rotational. We try to do as much local as possible. I mean, we get stuff from other states, obviously. There's so many killer beers out there.
I think I had one called like Peanut Butter and Jesus or something like that.
Sweet Baby Jesus.
Sweet Baby Jesus, yeah.
From Baltimore.
Yeah, the peanut butter style. Cool. Yeah, that was pretty good. But yeah, you got like a lot of different ones. Every time I come in, I get to try something new.
Yeah.
And who's the artist? I wanted to ask this since like for a while, like the menu board.
Oh, that would be our bar manager, Allie's husband, Tim.
No.
Oh, really?
Oh my God, I love that.
Did you
that.
See it? I mean,
yeah,
it's all chalkboard and it's,
yeah,
and you can tell
got
like,
cut out of the rabbit.
At first I thought it was production, like it was printed, yeah, because it was like so perfect. They looked just like each other, but then you could see little differences, little,
yeah,
nuances.
He's the third chalkboard artist we've had.
Wow.
Yeah, he's the third one. Hands down the best one. Like,
wow.
He's brought some of the boards in for like certain breweries, and I know,
yeah,
like breweries I love. I'm like, did he draw that? Because that's like exactly the logo. That is like spot on, perfect.
Right, that's,
oh,
crazy.
My God.
So,
that's amazing.
Even the fish and everything, just trying to match them up and between both sides and,
yeah,
the, yeah, that's,
yeah, he's got his work cut out on that too, because we go through a lot of beer here.
Wow.
And like it changes. Like, we,
oh,
change
he does
it.
Them for each beer?
Yeah, so yeah, that's individual beers on tap.
Wow,
yeah,
that's so cool.
He's actually probably gonna be here in the next 20 minutes and he's probably gonna have another stack of boards coming in.
Oh my God. We'll have
so.
To take a little, if we can, a little video of that or something.
Yeah, we'll switch out. We'll put her in
him. Yeah,
so he does them at home and then you hang them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I thought he was like up there on a ladder.
Oh,
no.
I've
seen him doing some here. Like if he had free time, he'll do them here. And I'm like just watching him like, how do you do that?
That's amazing.
Yeah,
oh,
that's cool.
So tell me what goes into like I know creating a menu is a huge thing, especially for a brand new concept in a land full of franchises. How did you plan the menu so you could differentiate yourself?
Well, it was funny. So when they first started this, like we were supposed to be a bar, very small menu, burgers, wings, hot dogs, a few salads. Then it was just more of a high demand. People was like, oh, I want this, I want that. So we just started playing around with other items and stuff like that. And then 3 years later, I mean, we're pretty successful at what we do, but it goes into a lot of testing. It's like, I have 2 meetings in the next couple of weeks. One, I'm going up to Orlando to try out some aged ribeyes that we'll do for a Valentine's special here. Then the following week, I'm going to be down south at the warehouse trying out a bunch of like gamey meats.
Ooh.
Because one of the new menus, we're going to do a burger of the month. And the burger of the month, it's going to be a different style of meat, lamb, bison, ostrich, venison.
Wow.
So it's going to be every different type of burger. So we're going to have our standard Angus for our regular burgers. Then for our specials, it's going to be a different kind of meat.
Type of meat.
So it's a lot of testing.
Yeah.
So,
well, that must be fun.
So
right?
Yeah, I know you get to eat a lot of food.
Yeah, I just tested out the other day pork belly. So I did some little pork belly ribs yesterday here.
I missed
pork
that.
Belly ribs.
I actually still have some left, so.
Okay.
Then past week, the guy brought me in a whole pork loin. I did some fillets out of that. Then
wow.
He showed me how to like unroll it to where it's flat. Then I stuffed it and rolled it into a pinwheel.
Oh my God.
So like, guys always coming in, it's like, oh, try this. So it's a lot goes into it, but it's also, it's like, you got to look at the area, like what's good in the area, what's big in the area, what people want to look for, stuff like that, because you don't want to end up like chain restaurants and then you got the same stuff. So we do stuff different compared to what the next restaurant down the street does for us.
Right.
But, and it's, I don't know, the new menu in March when it drops should like definitely elevate us over other restaurants around this area.
Yeah.
Because we definitely stepped it up a notch with a lot of the items.
Wow. So. So when is that menu supposed to come out?
We're hoping by March, because the owners want the Irish burger back.
Oh.
So the Irish burger I did a couple years ago for the month of March is a corned beef, Angus beef with a Jameson bacon jam, Swiss arugula.
Mmm.
So they want it back, but this time I'm gonna do a little bit different. I'm gonna do a Kobe beef with the corned beef, Swiss cheese, the arugula, the bacon jam. So that's gonna be the burger of the month for March. So I'm almost positive by March just gonna be ready to go. But like one of the items we have now is a grilled cheese. Mm-hmm. People's like, oh, it's okay, it's not great. So the one thing we did decide to elevate is we took sourdough bread, we're gonna hit it with a garlic butter spread.
Ooh.
We're gonna do a smoke rear and an aged cheddar with it. To really just take it from just a basic grilled cheese to people like, oh, I want that when I come in next.
Yeah.
So, and
that sounds so good.
We're gonna do it like adult style, like style BLT. Same process, sourdough bread with the garlic butter spread.
Mm.
Then the Southwest shrimp salad we're updating to more of a true Southwest feel.
Yeah.
So you have tort shrimps, a black bean corn salsa, a nice little vinaigrette to go with it. So.
Yum, that sounds amazing.
And those are just some of the items that we already have that we just elevated, but we're adding other stuff on. Like we're doing a citrus marinated chicken now. We're gonna do it in a dry white wine. We're adding pretzels and bratwurst on.
Oh my God, I'm just gonna come here
every
day.
Their pretzels, have you had their pretzels? Their pretzels are this big.
Are
it's a 10-ounce pretzel that we do with a smoked Gouda Guinness beer cheese.
Oh my God.
So, I always get that and I get some of the different wings.
Yeah, but yeah, like we got a couple new sauces coming out. We got a spicy bourbon barbecue coming out.
Ooh.
And we're gonna do a Nashville style sauce. So we're going to have a Nashville chicken, and we're going to have a Nashville chicken tender platter.
I think Nashville chicken is kind of trending right now.
And that's why we're going to have route, because like everybody loves it. And around this area, nobody does it. The only place that does it around here is the King of the Coop out in Seminole, South Tableware.
That's it.
Yeah, so I'm cornered for this area right now.
Yeah,
so.
You're good. I don't think you're going
to
have
much. I would say like it's pretty fair to say that it's a elevated or gourmet pub. Food. It's not your normal pub food. It's very elevated. I like to think of it on the lines of like Cine Bistro.
Yeah.
Like that kind of food, you know, where it's little, it's more gourmet, it's handheld, but it's also easy for everybody.
Yeah, that was one thing when they came and approached me about being their chef here and doing the menu and stuff like that. The one thing I told them, like, I really didn't want a freezer. If I was going to have one, it's going to be a small one. What I have in there is tater tots, ice cream, corn kernels, but I mean outside of that, like nothing's frozen, everything comes in fresh.
Yeah, it's
burgers, grass fed, chickens are free range chicken, no hormones or anything like that.
Wow.
Pork fresh, the skirt steak I bring in is grass fed, and all the sauces I do in house. I have 8 wing sauces plus the dressings and all that stuff I make in house.
Oh,
I wanted that feel when people came in here, they're getting fresh food. And people, and we see it in the reviews, like when people leave a review, they're like, this is not your ordinary pub.
No.
This is like more of a like uptake to pub food because it's fresh.
Yeah.
And people can tell the difference on that.
Yeah, normal bar food comes in bags from a freezer. Right. And it's just totally opposite of what we are. And like, I see it firsthand, you know, working the bar.
Yeah.
Like people take that food, like it's a first time customer, they take the first bite of their burger and they're just like, oh my God, this is so good. And I'm like, I know. And they're like, how? And I'm like, well, so I just tell him, you know, basically what he just said.
Yeah.
We don't have frozen food. His recipes, I mean, he's amazing at what he does.
Right.
And then you put consistently fresh food on top of that all together, you're going to have, you know, a food item that's light years above anybody else or ahead of anybody else because it's fresh.
For sure.
And it's like home cooking. It's you have fresh food cooked to order every time. It's like,
and honestly, like demographically in the area, that's what you kind of need to do. You know, you got a different kind of consumer coming out of Tampa Pines, New Tampa. You know, where they expect like an elevated.
But you know, like we touched earlier, like people work hard for the money. They can go anywhere and get a burger, anywhere and get a Bud Light or any kind of beer. they chose to come here, so we have to give them that reason, like, this is why you chose here.
Right.
And this is why you're coming back.
Yeah.
All right.
So tell us about being behind the bar and everything else that you do. I mean, how is that? And,
well, they have some good, like, craft cocktails.
Yeah.
That I discovered here was the peanut butter old fashioned. Uber cup old fashioned that I've been trying to replicate at home.
I'll give you one tip. It's all about the kind of bitters you use.
The bitters?
That's the tip.
Okay.
So yeah, that one, that particular drink was a collab between most of our staff. We heard that it had peanut butter whiskey coming out, and I was kind of, I don't know why, I was skeptical because I love peanut butter. I love chocolate. We have a chocolate old fashioned also.
Ooh.
We got it in, and I was just, I didn't know what to do. And then we all were kind of like, let's mix it with the chocolate whiskey, like the Reese's peanut butter cup. And mixing those two whiskeys together, the chocolate whiskey was way sweeter, so it kind of overpowered it. And then it was just kind of like, what if we try the chocolate bitters? So we started just doing different little takes on it, and finally we got to where it is now, and it's like, it tastes like you're eating a Reese's peanut butter cup.
It's also smoked. So yeah, that was the thing I didn't get right, because I got the screwball, I got the chocolate bitters. It's probably maybe a different chocolate bitters, but you know, the guy at ABC was kind of helping me, you know, figure it out. And I'm like, they smoked it. He's like, well, how did they smoke it? Did they smoke the glass? Did they use a smoked bitter? I don't know. I was like, I don't know. I'm like, but it was like really good.
I want it in bulk.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I had it again when I came here. What was it, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was.
Yeah, I saw it.
Networking event, yeah. And I got it once again, obviously, because it's one of my favorite drinks. I mean, I went out and bought the ice ball maker and everything.
Aww.
You know? Like, that's how much I liked it.
Maybe you can get, like, a weekend job here or something.
Yeah, right?
Then you can learn all the recipes.
I had to sneak in.
Aww.
Oh, yeah, my God. It is good. And just, like, as unique, obviously, because I haven't seen it anywhere else. I mean, I've seen the screwball, like, at other places, but I haven't seen that drink anywhere else. So just, like, the food thing, I guess on your end and with the other bartenders.
Yeah, a couple places have asked how to make it. I was like, I can't tell you, like, the exact, I can't, man.
Can't
like,
give your secret away.
Yeah, we had a married couple regulars come in, and they became friends of mine. He was a contractor, and he actually helped me do all the stuff in the brewery. Like,
wow.
He had all the tools, he had everything. Like, anything I needed, he helped me do. And that drink was her favorite drink, so for that, I helped her get.
Aww.
She made a little old-fashioned bar at home.
Aww.
And I told her everything to get, so
cute.
She had it at home.
It's like part of their payment. Yeah.
You're inspiring people, you know, to do this at home, me included.
Yeah. Speaking of the brewery, tell us a little bit more about that. Is that going to be here or another location?
Yeah, so it's here now. Okay. It's out back. It's another part of the building we have. It's small, classified as a nano brewery, actually.
Okay.
It took about a year and a half, I would say, total process from initial concept, talking with them about it, to agreeing to terms, how we're going to do everything,
get right.
State paperwork, government, federal government yep. paperwork, inspections, all that stuff. So it was a small system where it's one barrel, 31 gallons at a time.
Wow.
But it was a great starting place because it proves concept. When we do expand in the future, I'll still retain that system for recipe design because as you scale up, you don't want, you know, if you have a 10 barrel system, 10 barrels of beer costs a good amount to make. So if it's not a great recipe you came up with, I pour that down the drain.
Yeah,
it's a waste. So you still make smaller batches, just tests and stuff like that. It really took off a lot faster than I thought it was going to.
Really? Oh, good.
I'm trying to think of the way to describe it. It's great. It's a great problem to have. It's flattering and like, holy cow, this is awesome.
Good.
But at the same time, I hate not having product on tap.
Yeah.
And you know, people like it and they want to come get it. And then we don't have it. So I hate that part of it.
Yeah.
So we're working on. I've got two more tanks coming in that are bigger. We upgraded some stuff so we can handle production a little better. We're just going to keep rocking out this year with what we got, see what we can go from there, and then look to maybe expand in the future.
Wow, that's cool. So you can come here, sit down at the bar, and order like a Fat Rabbit Pub.
Yep. Yeah, we have two on right now. We have our IPA and a Pilsner. So I just did a light beer. So anybody that drinks Miller Lite, that style beer, could approach it.
Yeah.
Maybe dive into the craft side a little
bit. That is so cool. And do you repeat them? Or do you change it up every day?
The IPA is the one that's probably going to be the flagship. It's the biggest hit so far.
Wow.
That I want to have on tap all the time. I want to get to the point where we have four core beers on tap all the time that are always the same.
Yeah.
And then have two other taps that are kind of rotational, play around seasonal stuff.
That's cool.
So that in the next year, I should be able to get to about that one.
Wow. Oh my gosh, that is so
something,
awesome.
Something dark, hopefully.
Yeah, we had a stout when we first launched. It was a pumpkin stout, just a hint of pumpkin in the background. It was a sweet milk stout. And I had a lot of requests for another stout to come back. So next couple weeks, I'll get another stout out there. Well, we got our last little bit of winter in Florida.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Get it in there before the summer hits again.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. So do you have a lot of regulars that come in here and order the same menu items? Do you see a lot of tourists in here?
We still see a lot of new faces. Mm-hmm. We're still growing, but we have an amazing regular base, like our customers. And I hate to use the word customer, they're our regulars, they're like part of the family. Like, we all know their names, they know our names, we know what they drink, we know what they eat. And, you know, you get to be a little bit more personal with some of them. So it's like, oh, hey, how was your kid's trip, or how was your family vacation? They'll say the same to you. So it's really cool. That's a cool aspect about this style restaurant bar versus a nightclub or a college bar that I used to work at. Like, you actually get to know the people. You know, they're not just a customer for a dollar. Like, you know, they become friends.
Yeah.
I mean,
not
like I said,
for a night out, party.
the customers, Pam and Eddie. I mean, we became close, and he was like, "Oh, anything you need, I'll help you out." And da da da. And it's like, make some cool, real cool connections.
Yeah.
That's community.
Then. Yeah. Exactly what it is.
You know, that's what it is. Speaking of community, are you both like? Let's talk about where you're from and like how you ended up here in New Tampa. You know, just a brief history of.
Well, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. Then we moved to Savannah when I was probably about five, spent about 10 years down there. Then my dad came to work for Gulfstream down here at McDill. Then, so I've been down here since I was 15. Got my background cooking through my parents and my grandmother, so.
That's cool.
All your recipes from like your grandmother that you come up with?
Some of the stuff not per se, like my family always did cook. That's what they've always done.
Yeah.
When they made a meal, they made it that night. It wasn't stuff that was like brought in or pizza and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But with my grandmother, I did a lot of cooking with her because I get home from school, since there's really never nothing in the house besides what they were making that night for dinner.
Yeah.
So her and I, we went through recipe and just started playing around with stuff and all that. So my whole like passion of cookies came from my grandmother.
That's amazing.
But like my dad, he's a northern, my mom's a southerner. So I have a cross between northern and southern style cooking. So that's why I'm really good with messing with meats, but also southern style. Like I'm great at doing that. Like I do a chicken and dumplings every once in a while in here.
Ooh.
I do it and it's gone in a day. Like as soon as I post it on Facebook or Instagram, like it's gone. I make a four quart batch, it's gone by the end of the day. People go nuts over it because everything's from scratch. The dumplings from scratch, I do a whole chicken, peel it, cook it. And,
you're diversified amazing. Though, that's good. You got a little bit of best of both worlds.
Yeah.
And I know you're from New York. Are you the Yankees fan?
No.
Well, listen, this is the reason I wore my hat. I'm a huge Yankees fan. And in the bathroom, they do have some Yankee stuff up there.
Yeah,
in the men's room anyway. I don't know. I haven't been in a ladies' room, so I can tell you.
Check it out.
I'd say both of our owners are big baseball fans, but Sean particularly is diehard baseball, anything fan, loves the game. So we got a lot of baseball memorabilia in the bathroom. I am from upstate New York, Saratoga Springs.
Yeah, my neck of the woods.
Yeah. I moved down here when I was five, and coincidentally enough, my dad worked for Ball Metal Container, which is the place that makes all the beer and soda cans for the world.
Oh.
And there's one over off Fowler behind Greco Sports Complex.
Oh.
So,
is it still there?
Ball, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're global. They're global now.
Is that what inspired what is this beer can day?
Oh, yeah, that's today's National Beer Can Day, so we're running a special on that. It's just funny that my dad made beer cans sort of quality control and I got into making beer.
Yeah, and now here you are years later.
And I still his friends come in here from Ball and we talk about beer cans and all kind of crafting how everybody switched from bottles to cans. Multiple reasons. Hopefully everybody does it the same reason. I think it's better for the environment, the recyclable. They're less shipping than glass. So the craft industry, everybody used to think bottled beer is that's the premium.
Right.
But now it's like it's actually worse
really?
For beer. There's more oxygen ingress, light ingress. canned beer is second to keg. Those are the two best ways.
Wow.
So yeah, he worked there. We moved down here from upstate New York, lived in Lutz. And I remember my parents only had one car when we moved down here because my mom was pregnant. She was the stay-at-home mom kind of at the time. And we would drive from Lutz to take him to work in the morning so she could take me to school. She had a car during the day. And so I remember when Bruce B. Downs was two lanes. There was nothing on it. There was no stores, no lights. It was pitch black.
Wow.
Driving out here. So I've been since 89. There was nothing out here.
Oh, I bet you. Yeah. It's just like, yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy what it is now.
I wish we could all see what you can remember and then see what it is today. And the growth is just insane.
Lots of orange fields.
Yeah.
That's what it was out here all the way into Lutz, Land O'Lakes. That's what it was.
Did it smell like oranges?
Yeah.
As you drove?
Yeah. Especially like springtime, orange blossoms.
Oh my God.
Cool.
I didn't want to cut them off. Yeah, yeah. I've got to go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for doing it.
Gotta go.
Yeah, you're about to see food start coming out.
The donuts or the wings or whatever it
is. Yeah, I wanted to mention too, the seafood here is amazing. Better than, I hate to say it, a lot of places in Tampa. It's always so fresh. I guess, do you know anything about that?
I know we have a couple different food vendors. I think he has one special for his fish items or seafood items, and a lot of it's local off the coast. I mean, depending on the variety of fish, if it's something that's local to here. I know we had a sea bass one time. It was like out of this world good. And I'm not a huge sea bass fan, so I was like, I'll try. He makes really good food. And I was just like, what is this? This is, how do you do this? This is so good. So it goes back to, like I said, his recipes are fantastic. He makes great food. The freshness of the food is amazing.
Fresh is key.
That's awesome. The owners of this did a great job, but they also did a great job hiring their staff because you're incredible. He's incredible.
Oh, thank you.
It's true. It takes a team, especially in this industry. So
I'd like to mention the brewery is pretty much, it's yours, right?
No, we partnered up. Sean and John own Fat Rabbit. I've worked with them kind of like Cole. I came in about a month before we opened our doors, and I've been brewing for 7 years. So that's my thing, is I love brewing, I love beer, and I wanted to take it to that next level. I wanted to be able to create beer and sell it legally, to the public, be a real deal.
Like this is strangling you.
Yeah, a little bit. And so I talked to them, they liked the idea. And it took a couple months of back and forth, like how we're gonna make it happen. And we came to an agreement on what was fair, and they said, let's go, when do you want to start? I said, right now. So I started downloading all the applications for the state, and it was a cool process because I learned so many things during the process, from the construction stuff that I'd learned. The only thing I didn't do was electrical, because legally I couldn't come out
electrical.
And it was a lot of running around back and forth, going downtown to the license office for today's the day, I'm gonna get it. And then it's like four more weeks, and then today's the day. And then, so it took a while for that. Working with the federal government was not hard. There's a lot of redundancy on the applications and stuff, but I get it. You gotta apply. It's gotta go to different branches and how they flow it off. But once I finally spoke to the agent that handled our case, it was a couple weeks after that point.
There you go.
His name was Steve Powers, if I remember correctly, and he was super cool. There's a lot of red tape and regulations with alcohol and stuff like that with the government. And some of it doesn't make sense. You're like, that's a silly law. But he was great in the sense that he had an answer for everything. He knew. If I'm like, well, what is this? Why? I don't get it. He's like, well, the reason for that is this, and he didn't have to look it up or get back to me. He was like, boom, right there in the front. I got your answer. So I was like, I'm just going to do what this guy says because he knows what he's doing. We'll get this process moving.
That's his way to what I need. That's awesome.
So, lightning round, we ready for that?
Oh, yeah. All right.
This is where it gets fun.
Yes. All right.
Really fun.
Well, good. You've lived here for a long time, so hopefully you'll have some good answers. Pressure or anything. All right. So here we go. North Tampa or South Tampa?
North Tampa.
Okay. St. Pete or Tampa? Ooh.
I've lived in both. I lived in St. Pete for about a year at one point. I lived in Old Northeast, right by downtown. I loved it down there. It was so pretty. You could walk. I lived on the Bayside, so it was like the beach, but I could walk by water, walk downtown. But I've been in Tampa
pretty much my whole life. I lived in California for 1 year, St. Pete for a year, but I've been in this immediate area for the majority of my life.
Yeah.
And I love it. When I was in California, I wasn't like in San Diego, it was beautiful. I was in the Central Valley just for work.
Yeah.
And like when I was like, oh, I'm moving to Cali, this is great. And then I got there where I was living and I was like, oh.
It's not what I expected.
And the price on it, it's just crazy expensive to live out there.
Bad.
And I was like, I miss Tampa, like really bad. So I came home. Awesome. Yeah, I really couldn't see myself living anywhere else.
Yeah.
Until one day when I retire on the beach somewhere, then maybe St. Pete. Yeah. Then maybe St. Pete.
That's everyone's goal, to live on the beach when they're retiring.
Beach on the
beach.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Beach on the beach. I love that. Oh my gosh. Okay. Let's do. All right. Besides yours, favorite craft beer in Tampa or anywhere, let's say. Besides your own, you can't say.
It's gotta be inspirations, right?
I'm so indecisive. It's so hard to pick a favorite anything.
Really?
I can't. Oh, it's so hard for me to pick a favorite anything. Okay. But I would say.
Well, let me put it this way. Coppertail, Cigar City, or Big Storm?
I have friends at all of them, and I like all of them.
No.
But if I had to pick Tampa, I would probably say Angry Chair.
Angry Chair, yeah. Good one. That's a good one.
They make awesome beers. Their IPA is what kind of inspired mine.
Okay.
I wasn't an IPA drinker.
Yeah.
But going to start selling beer to the public and brewing beer, like IPA is a big selling beer, style of beer. And I was like, well, I don't know anything about them because I've been brewing beer for 7 years at home for what I like.
Right.
Not for what everybody else likes.
Yeah.
So me and my girlfriend, whenever we would go out to dinner or go out for drinks, I forced myself, my first drink was an IPA, just to try to start trying different things to see what they were about.
Yeah.
Now I like them. But I fell in love with Angry Chair Spacegrass.
Spacegrass is good.
It's not overly bitter. It's a great, it's a New England IPA style. That's how I perceive it. I don't know if they have it labeled that way.
Yeah.
But it's got the hot bitterness to it, great aroma, great flavor. And you don't have that, it's not so bitter.
That bitter taste.
So I started drinking that and I was like, okay, if I can, maybe I can make something similar to this. Yeah. It's not overly. But they make great sour stouts. And there's two owners down there. One of their owners is Shane. And he actually helped me with a lot of my government paperwork. Aside from making great beer, they've been great, great friends to us since we opened. And then with the brewery part going on, he took time out of his day, came here to help me fill out some paperwork. If
awesome.
Any questions along the way, they've been amazing to us.
Those are the type of people you want around. Friends
in high places.
We'll make sure we give them a shout out. What is it called again? I'm not here.
Angry Chair Brewing. They're down in Southern Heights.
Angry Chair Brewing.
Angry Chair Spacegrass. What about your go-to beer? You're out of state, you're somewhere, where the hell you are.
I don't know.
You just pick, this sounds interesting. That's kind of how I do it.
I've been drinking a lot of sours lately. Okay. I like sour beers. I like sour candies, sour fruit candies.
Ooh.
So a lot of the sour Berliner Weiss style beers are that. They're fruit flavored. They've got candy flavored ones.
Ooh.
So sour, they're good beers, usually lower in alcohol. So you can drink a couple of them and not be.
So you're not afraid to try the local craft?
Oh yeah, I'll try. I love beer as a whole.
Me too.
Oh my God. Okay, let me do one more about the Bat Rabbit Pub, and then do general Tampa. What is your favorite menu item here? Oh my God.
The favorites.
So as of recently, that's the best way I can do it because it changes. I used to not like blue cheese, or thought I did. And we have our buffalo chicken sandwich with the blue cheese variation of the black and blue chicken sandwich. And I messed up a food order one day for somebody, and it was totally my fault, and I'm like, so sorry. So I told them in the kitchen, I hate wasting food. I was like, just keep it back there. I'll use it for my half off employee meal.
Yeah.
And we were super busy, and I saw I wasn't gonna get to order food or eat anyway, so I'm like, I'm just gonna eat this thing. I hate blue cheese, but whatever. And I took a giant bite, and it was another one of those. Okay, apparently I like blue cheese a lot because this is really, really good. So it might just be the way he makes his sandwiches, and maybe it's partial to him. But that's my favorite item on the menu right now.
Awesome! What a story too. Okay, so all right. Besides Fat Rabbit Pub, favorite steak in Tampa.
Steak, Charlie's.
Charlie's. Oh, we get a lot of Charlie's.
We do get a lot of Charlie's.
That's.
Okay, favorite pizza in Tampa.
Wood-fired at the corner of Barris and Bruce B. Downs.
Oh,
They are good.
Are they? Oh, I have to try that one.
Yeah, the owner, Peter, he's a super good guy. Okay. This guy, food's great all the time. They take room to kill us when we go in there. That's me, me and wifey's, that's our date spot. We'll go, because they go, let's have a split of pizza, salad, and a glass of wine or two.
Yeah, that's a perfect date. Oh my gosh. Favorite dessert in Tampa?
I don't think he eats dessert.
I don't eat a lot. No, don't get me wrong. I have my days. Like I have a sweet tooth. I just try to keep it hidden back there so I don't eat too many.
I know it's hard because you like sour stuff, you said.
But I like sweets too.
Oh, I do.
I just like I try to keep that at bay. Because I'd be sugared up
you
all the time.
You try not to indulge too much. Any ice cream shops or like a bakery or.
I can't remember the name of it or how to pronounce it. It's in the corner of Barris in Florida.
Okay.
It's a Puerto Rican bakery. It's something Bahia.
Okay.
And they have some really good pastries because we went, my girlfriend's Colombian, so we'll try different Spanish bakeries and stuff. And she, one of her clients brought her, she owns a hair salon down the road, and they brought her a pastry. Okay. And she's like, babe, you got to try this. Get it away from me. I can't eat it. It's too fat.
Oh my God.
So I tried it and it was really good. She's like, we'll have to go there and get breakfast. So we went there this past Sunday. And got them. It's like a little twist pastry with like a cheese filling. They're so, so good.
Really? I gotta try that.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'll find it and I'll make sure we tag them.
I'll try to find them too.
I'll send you the links. I'll find it. We'll just Google Maps. That's all we need. Okay. All right. Last one. Favorite podcast in Tampa?
This is Tampa Podcast.
Yeah, hey, of course.
That's the right answer.
Is there another one?
Oh my God. I don't know. There might be.
You forgot the sports one.
Oh yeah, Bucks, Lightning, or Rays. Well, now you're taking a sip of water. Give me a minute to think.
I'm not a huge hockey fan. It's I was actually just talking with Sean, our owner, last night. I love baseball. I'm not the guy that knows every stat or every player's name, but I love the game of baseball. And after doing nightclubs and high volume college bars, every time I'm at work, it's 100 miles an hour, 100% of the time.
Yeah.
So when it's my downtime, I love watching baseball. It's relaxed. It's a little slower pace. You don't have to catch every second of it and not know what's going on. I cheer for the Bucks and the Lightning. Obviously, they're Tampa teams. They're our home teams.
Right.
You got to cheer for your home teams.
Yeah.
But I'm a Rays fan through and through.
Aww.
Whether they're good or bad, I love the Rays.
Yeah, well, listen, they do a lot with the budget they have.
Yeah.
You know, considering what they're up against,
and
Boston,
the league they're in, the division they're in.
Some real high salaried places.
Yeah.
They do really well considering.
No, they're a great team. Like you said, the division they're in makes all. If they were in another division, they'd be pulling first place in the division, no problem.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Got it now.
Yeah.
I don't follow sports.
that's really the only one I follow is baseball.
Okay.
Because you didn't know that already.
Shout out to the Rays.
Jen's going to learn.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you, Beach. I appreciate you kind of filling us in about the history of the Fat Rabbit Pub and everything you're doing here.
Thanks for having us on. I appreciate it. I can say from all of us since then, we appreciate it very much.
Yes. Well, we appreciate you being here in New Tampa. There's not a lot of choices.
This is one of my favorite places.
We're not going anywhere. We're
favorite
here.
Neighborhood.
Good.
So you know you got me.
Awesome. So what do you have here for us today for our non-Florida man story, Rob?
Well, I don't know how familiar you are with the non-Florida man, but you're obviously familiar with Florida man.
Yeah.
Everybody hears
about
Florida man. Florida man, Florida man, Florida man. It's always Florida man. Well, our take is there are people like that, crazies all over the place, right? So why not put the spotlight off of Tampa and on somewhere else?
I like it.
So that's a non-Florida man, okay? So these are Florida man-like stories from somewhere else. And we'd like to get your reaction. That's why you don't know about it.
All right.
Okay. And I'm sure Jen's going to have a lot to say about this one.
Oh, yeah. This looks disgusting. Looks like something my five-year-old's found.
Yeah. The headline is, Massachusetts serial pooper arrested after police catch her defecating in parking lot.
Disgusting.
All right.
Gross.
Now here's the whole thing. A Massachusetts woman accused of defecating in a parking lot of a local Natick Massachusetts, I guess, store for months, was arrested for months. Ew. Wednesday after she was caught in the act. I won't say her name. She's a 51-year-old that was charged with 8 counts of wanton destruction property after the police said that he saw her defecating outside the store. Now, apparently the store owner has been complaining and making reports since October about finding human defecation in his parking lot. Human feces.
So disgusting.
Now you would think, why? Okay, well maybe it's a homeless person or something like that. Well, it says an officer was patrolling the parking lot on Wednesday when he spotted the lady's name, waiting for a lot to clear. Opening the driver's side door of her Lincoln MKX.
So she wasn't hard up. She wasn't living on the streets or...
That wasn't the scenario we were all thinking
of. In fact, she worked as a nanny. She complained and said that she had done it because she had irritable bowel syndrome. But she had access to a restroom. So I don't know what was going on or what she had against these people.
Maybe she had some kind of grudge against the store. Right. Or maybe a little bit more wrong with it than just a grudge, because that's a little...
I don't understand why.
If I was ever mad at somebody, that'd probably be one of the last things I ever thought of, to like, oh, I'm going to get them back.
Yeah.
Well, we could say that, you know, the owner of the store is very happy that this was resolved.
Yeah,
and,
good.
She was put behind bars, and hopefully, you know, that's something of the past.
Yes. That's just disgusting. What state is this in? Massachusetts.
So this is Massachusetts woman. it's cold in December in Massachusetts, so.
Yeah.
She really had something out for this
thing,
guy.
Things I remember from being up north, even after I moved away, is I usually don't want to leave the house when it's the wintertime, let it alone be exposed outside.
Outside.
Right. Oh my God. So gross. Well, thanks, Rob, for finding that very disgusting story. Sorry, Massachusetts.
Well, you know.
Get your act together, I guess. Another non-Florida man. Hey, at least it wasn't Florida. That's all we care about.
Yep, that's right. It wasn't Florida, so there's some messed up people somewhere else.
So let's jump into our main topic today, which is small businesses in Tampa. Here we are at a small business in Tampa. Tampa is growing so quickly, so fast. I know today I just shared some information. The job growth here is double of the national job growth numbers.
Right.
So there's a lot of opportunities here.
And you're experiencing it right now.
Yeah.
Starting a business with the brewery, and this is fairly new still, Fat Rabbit, so you know some of the challenges and some of the benefits of being in Tampa and starting a business in Tampa. So we figured, well, I learned a new thing, a new word. There is a such word as Tampa, what is it? Tamperneurs.
Tamperneurs.
Yeah. So you're an entrepreneur from Tampa.
Tamperneurs.
Yeah, I guess that's how I say it. Tamperneurs. So.
All right, well, tell us about the Tamperneurs.
No, this was actually just a story from TampaBayIsAwesome.com.
About, I like the website.
You know, the three things that Tamperneurs should know.
Uh-huh.
One of them is choosing a company legal structure, which, you know, that was one of the first things you did.
Yeah.
Because it is a separate entity, right? This and that, and
we're under the same LLC.
Okay.
We've got two DBAs, mm-hmm. and we have it split up internally, structure-wise.
Right, and some people would choose to set up, you know, two different LLCs to kind of keep them separate or have like a.
When you get into dealing with alcohol and food,
I can't imagine.
starting separately, it was just a lot more money.
Right.
Just legal fees, licensing fees. Our brewery license is considered a child license off our parent liquor license restaurant here. So it was a difference of $4,500.
So that makes sense.
The license. So yeah, so we partnered up together. And you know, down the road, whichever direction we all decide to go, that we can make changes and stuff as we go. But for now,
the
proof of concept, there was no reason to spend $100,000.
No.
It was like, let's do this with what we got. Let's make it, prove it, make some good beers, make the demand there, and then we'll figure out how to handle that kind of stuff.
But some businesses, it might make sense to do it the other way.
Yeah.
Especially if there's not an alcohol license involved, it may be just for liability reasons and tax reasons.
Right.
Registering your business, obviously.
You got to register with the state. You got to register with the government, the IRS. I can't even imagine with alcohol and the licenses that involves. That's a whole nother.
Yeah, it's a little different than like just opening a bar, because we're not just selling alcohol; we're creating alcohol. So it's a highly regulated part of the government. But it just took a little time. But other than, like I said, when I talked to the guy, it was pretty painless going around stuff.
So. Good. That's awesome.
Obviously assessing the financial, your tax requirements, any of the insurances that you might need. Did you need separate insurance?
We didn't get separate. But we had to inform the insurance company. That's where like my blessing is Sean and John, because they're so great with numbers, and they've been businessmen forever, so they know the ins and outs of that kind of stuff.
And that's important. It's important to have like those kind of connections. Yeah. Do you ever go out and like network, like going to any of the business networks or anything like that?
Recently, I'm not really able to, just because I'm back there and I'm in here. So my day off is Sunday.
You're like me. You need to clone yourself, or like John too. Like we need to like a cloning machine.
Yes.
We can kind of be in two places.
One full day off is Sunday. Like I don't bartend Mondays or Wednesdays, but I'm here. Like
you're
I was here all day yesterday. I was here all day on Monday. So it's nice. I'm fine with that. Working during the daytime is great. Like I get the night off, so it's like not every night of the week.
Good.
But
you
generally,
need that
I'm
downtime. Free. I think that's one thing that people who haven't started their own small business don't realize is your job really never ends. So even when you're at home, you're still going. You know,
sometimes you just
commitment.
Even just thinking about things, like those moments you do have alone, you know, you're thinking.
Yeah, your brain's still going.
Getting, like, you know, creative, especially if you're a creative mind, you're probably thinking about, like, you know, what kind of beers you'd like to brew, like,
next
the
recipe
future,
design.
You know, thinking about,
And everything is temperature regulated out there for the beer. Beer has to be a certain temperature for a certain style of beer when it ferments or something like that. So everything's glycol controlled.
Yeah.
But I've got an app. I can do it all from my phone. I can change the temperature. But it's constantly, I've got alarms set. I'm constantly checking stuff.
Oh my God.
Because if the room's insulated, I got a little AC unit out there to keep the room cooler.
That's
and everybody's like, oh, that's so cool. Your brew room has AC. And I'm like, it's not for me. It's for the beer.
It's for the beer.
It's literally
to
help that system keep the beer, because
cool.
It gets so hot there. I mean,
before
I had AC out there when I was doing the building, it was like 105, 106 in that room.
Because
it was just stagnant, no flow.
No air.
Remember a big storm, they had the same thing when they were starting out, the same exact thing.
So
people were just burning up inside there.
Oh, I don't remember him saying that. That's interesting you recall that.
Yeah,
huh.
I remember that. He had the burners, he had like an old system or whatever.
Oh, he's probably doing gas fire.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was like really, really hot. That's one thing I really remember.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, that's cool that you can do it right from your phone. But you're probably checking out, like you said.
Oh yeah,
you're home,
I've got a kind of a routine. Like I'll check it before I leave, and then before I actually go to bed, I check it one more time.
You check it while you're in bed.
Just because you never know. Did the power go out? Did you know something happen?
I mean, what would happen if you checked it? Like you're so tired, you're about to go to sleep, and then you realize something's wrong. Would you get up and die?
Get up and leave. I've done that already. Like, we had a second batch of beer I brewed here.
Uh-huh.
I think second or first batch legally when we got our paperwork, because I had the system at home. I was doing test batches at home. I was here till about 4 in the morning.
Wow.
I was chilling everything down to go into the fermenter, pitch the yeast, and the power went out. And I was really? Like, why?
Yeah.
But I just did the best I could. I sealed everything up. I went home. I checked the website for the power company. It said expected to be 645.
So I set an alarm for 7. I went home, I took like an hour and a half nap.
Oh my
God. Got up,
God.
Came back, finished. It was just, it's part of the process. You have to do certain things.
There you go, small business owner.
Yeah. You gotta be like a fireman, man. You gotta have your shoes by the door, ready to jump in them. That's
about all I did. I took my shoes off and just laid across the bed and was like, take a quick nap, up and come back.
That's dedication right there.
It's all for the beer.
Yes.
That's right.
Gotta keep that beer.
I would do it for
cool.
the beer.
I love it. Man.
So some of the challenges, obviously that's one of them, especially starting out. You don't really have like a lot of people that are working for you. You're kind of doing everything on your own. You're doing your own social media, your own marketing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you really, you know, you haven't gotten to that point yet because there's so much demand here inside the restaurant. But once you scale, you know, then you're going to be, you know, doing a lot of that, trying to promote the products.
When we scale up to the next size system, it'll either be a 5 or a 7 barrel. Within next year or so, hopefully that's the point we get to. And I do want to get into some small local distribution. I'm not looking to be the next Bud Light or anything like that. I mean, you can make pretty decent money making beer, and it's just something I love. If I can get up every day and love what I do, it's not work.
Right.
It's a passion project.
Yeah. Exactly. And to the whole concept from doing it, distribution for here for me is, you know, Sean and John started Fat Rabbit. We did the beer together, but we're also, it's one LLC. We're one company. We have the kitchen, the bar, the floor. Like, we all have to work together to make it successful and be what it is now.
Yep.
So my dream of distribution isn't just like, I want the beer to go out there, because when somebody sees that tap handle in another bar or restaurant or for Canon instead of Publix or a liquor store, they see Fat Rabbit also. It's not just the beer, it's Fat Rabbit.
Right.
So now those people will come here to get a beer maybe at the brewery, but at the same time they're going to get a burger or they're going to get food items, and they, you know, they'll have a great time, and hopefully they'll be like, oh, well, it's my
new
place.
You know, one thing I would say for sure is like the branding, like they got that down. You know, I don't know if you came up with the beer tap or not, or even just the coasters, but the branding is exceptional.
So that's where Sean and John again come into play. Like I said, John works for Iron Man, Sean works for EY. They handle a lot of big corporations merging and stuff like that. So, you know, it's all brand heavy. And that's the thing, is always respect the brand, promote the brand. And the guy that does the artwork, it's an online firm or company that Sean uses.
Yeah.
And he's done all of our stuff since day one. So our logo for the bar, for the brewery, each beer logo, anything we have that has that red on it.
It's one of the coolest beer taps I think I've ever seen. Yeah. I mean, that beer tap is pretty badass.
Aww. Well, I've got some friends in the metal industry, motorcycles and custom metal fabrication. And I was like, I didn't know what to do for a tap. I was thinking about 3D ones, but I started looking at the pricing. And I'm like, okay, it's like $5,000 for somebody to do the 3D modeling. Then you got to get the taps. I'm like, yeah, that's not happening yet. Maybe down the road.
I
was like, the metal sign behind the bar that's got the grab it cut out of it. And I was like, well, what if I take the positive image of that and take it my guy's laser jet, their table jet. And so he cut it out and we put some posts on. We're still tweaking them a little bit.
Yeah,
that's cool.
But
it's
going to stay the rabbit in the glass as the tap. We're just probably going to put a little bit longer of a handle for a pull on it.
So
and that's the thing, it's like Coke or Pepsi, you see, or Nike, you see the swoosh,
you know what it is.
That tap handle in other locations eventually, at least in Tampa Bay area, people will know what it is, and it'll drive people into the business here.
Exactly. There's another important small business aspect that people don't think about.
Branding.
You need to brand, and you need to carry it through.
Yeah, so. And branding's not often something that you see an immediate ROI on. It's more of a long game thing, because it does take a while to brand and build that brand. But once you do, and you do it successfully, it's good. Like you said, you'll be recognized at other taps.
That's when you see a Bud Light, or you see, you know, certain tap handles are distinctive. You see it, you know what it is.
Right.
Then that's, you know, like I said, I don't ever expect to be a giant in the beer world. But if Tampa, our local community, if the people see our tap and they know what it is, like that'll be more than enough.
That's, that's all you need. That's so cool. We could go on about this topic for hours, honestly, I think. I know you guys are starting to get busy. You all can probably hear the crowd starting to trickle in. So let's let's go on to, I know, Rob, we've got a little game set up here. We got
we always like to do something a little different every with every guest. Something fun that we can do. And now we can get maybe our viewers involved by offering a $25 gift card to Fat Rabbit. And here's how it's going to work. So basically, Beach has a unique name. Okay, Beach, obviously, is pretty unique. And he's going to give, four answers to, how he came about the name of Beach. And if you know the answer, if you can guess the answer correctly, and you tag the Fat Rabbit, what is it?
Fat Rabbit Pub
on Facebook?
Facebook, it's at Fat Rabbit Pub. On Instagram, it's the Fat Rabbit Pub.
Okay.
All right, we'll make sure we link it, too.
Yeah. At Fat Rabbit Pub, Jen will do all the links. That's what she's good at. And also tag This is Tampa Podcast, obviously. That's Facebook /
This is Tampa. Tampa.
I think it's just This is Tampa, right? Yeah. So it's just
we'll
This is
everything.
Tampa. So, yeah.
All right, so what are our examples here?
Yeah, there what's
are,
the...
Our four choices. Do you have four or you want to do three?
We can do three.
All right, let's do
three. All right.
So you have to, number
three
one,
opportunities
you have
to get
guess
it right.
The right answer.
33%
you have
chance.
To tag Fat Rabbit, Instagram and Facebook, and This is Tam Podcast.
Right.
Instagram and Facebook. All right.
Yeah, because he's got to see it, we got to see it. Otherwise, it don't count.
All right.
So this is, again, for $25 gift card.
Yes.
I was either made on the beach. I received it from my name from a band, or I got it at my first bar job.
Ooh.
Your first bar job?
Okay.
Somebody just nicknamed you that?
Yeah.
So let me go over it again. A, conceived on the beach.
Made okay. Sounds so much more polite.
So
conceived,
better.
Made, well, or whatever. Okay, you made, a stork brought you, whatever, however, whatever you believe.
The stork, let's go with the stork.
The stork brought him from the beach, or to the beach, I don't know. You were in a band, a rock band, or you were named it from fellow co-workers behind the bar.
All right.
Because you... Go to the beach.
Yeah.
So make sure you share your answer, tag both of us, and we'll select one winner.
Yeah, this
from
is
everyone
legit.
Who gets us to win a $25 gift card to the Fat Rabbit Pub, and you are not going to want to miss this if you haven't been yet.
$25.
So.
Fat Rabbit.
Awesome.
All right, Beach. Well, thank you for joining us today, coming on the podcast with
us. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it very
much. Having you. It's pretty exciting hearing about the future. I like to see where the craft beer goes and
as a whole, we're constantly working on how to make stuff better or improve or innovate. So we got a bunch of stuff coming in this year. That'll
Awesome. And they got a new menu coming out. So if you guys are in the new Tampa area, come in, check it out, say hi to Beach. He's always here, except Sundays, obviously. We know that. Well, for now. For now, he's not here on Sundays.
Aww.
But, say hi to Beach. It's
Beach
real
at the
friendly.
Bar.
Yeah. Friendly area. Lots
Great
of good
food.
Stuff. Yeah, visually pleasing.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Beach. Thank you to the Fat Rabbit Pub for having us. And, make sure y'all
awesome.
Come on down. And. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.
I think I'm going to get some wings.
Thanks for watching. Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.